Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, with ambitions to lead in the race for superintelligence, Meta is investing billions in AI development, raising big questions about the societal cost, the future of work, and who really benefits. To unpack it all, I'm delighted to be joined by our resident tech guru, Mr. Andy O'Donoghue. Good morning to you, Andy.
Good morning, Bobby.
Now, Meta has announced these massive investments in superintelligence. What exactly does that mean in this context, Andy? And how different is superintelligence from current AI models like, say, ChatGPT?
And Bobby, it's an interesting question. And you know, in one sense, Mark Zuckerberg hasn't defined this, but what we know about Meta's vision is that they want to develop this AI that surpasses human intelligence. And that means systems that are better than ChatGPT or this sort of generative AI systems that we've seen. And so it's not just about general intelligence, I think, though, is what Mark Zuckerberg is talking about, but it's about creating AI assistants and tools that are very deeply integrated into Meta users' daily lives. And their plan really will be to offer personalized solutions and services for Meta customers. Don't forget, Bobby, they have billions of users. They have Facebook and Instagram and WhatsApp. And so developing a super intelligent system that's embedded in all of those systems allows users to use the tools that they create across their daily lives. And I suppose one of the things that Zuckerberg has said is that over the last few months that they had seen glimpses of AI systems improving themselves. And he went on to say that the improvement is slow for now, but undeniable. And so he said himself that developing this superintelligence is now in sight.
Okay. So the $70 billion investment is huge. Still probably not at the same level as OpenAI, but building this AGI, this will be AI that learns like humans, can respond intelligently, fact check, and then support research. So it's AI making AI better. Have I got that right?
You are, Bobby. That's exactly right.
Wow.
And they've renamed their lab. They've been going on a hiring spree, which is pretty remarkable. We've heard reported that Meta have been providing or offering these huge packages, $1 million or $10 million signing bonuses, some pay rewards totaling up to $300 million over 4 or 5 years. Facebook dispute those numbers, but I think it's fair to say that Meta are recruiting people very aggressively and with the plan to make the superintelligence lab unbeatable. Your point about the spend and what he's committed to spending right now, I think, is a really interesting one, Bobby, because only in the last 24 hours, ChatGPT-5 has been launched. And OpenAI, in regards to the generative sort of AI tool and assistant that people like to use, it is a huge improvement. I've been using it for the last day. OpenAI do seem to have stolen the march on just about everybody. In regards to other companies who've been doing incredible work, you have Google with Gemini, and you also have Anthropic. And Google recently launched some remarkable video tools, allowing you to create almost cinema-like tools, 8 seconds long, admittedly, but brilliant. Anthropic have been leading the way in AI-assisted coding, computer programming. And so Meta have an interesting challenge because, first of all, the budget, though it's large, it is insignificant or a lot smaller than the money that has been spent by others. And they are playing a catch-up race, but it's difficult to see where exactly they're going to catch up.
And one winner takes all here, or that's sort of what's been talked about. But going back to those appointments that are being made, people have been paid, you know, $1 million sign-on fees and all that. Obviously, that's reward for very few. But what about the data-heavy jobs that are now going to be at risk What about the other side of that coin and the whole automation and AIism of, you know, things like lawyers and accountants and all that? What are your thoughts there?
Well, it's a really good question. Microsoft had some surprising data over the last couple of weeks about jobs that were most at risk from artificial intelligence. And I think number one on the list was interpreters, translators, then you had historians, you had writers and authors there, you had telephone operators, ticket agents, travel clerks. In many ways, Bobby, it's an easy reference point, I think, in our own heads, because anything that requires repetition, reference, or research is at threat from AI. There's no doubt about it.
The three R's, then.
That's my principle. Yeah. At the bottom of the scale, Microsoft's data was interesting because, unsurprisingly, jobs like phlebotomists and nursing assistants, hazardous material removal workers, painters, plasterers, ship engineers and tire repairers were at the bottom of the list. Jobs that AI just can't do. Perhaps in the future, robotics. But I think the focus really is sort of on repetition. And we often talk about the displacement of jobs with artificial intelligence. There is no doubt that it's already happening. I think a lot of there's sort of an unspoken point about this in all of the tech layoffs over the last 18 months, that people thought, you know, tech companies were kind of recalibrating. I think there is absolutely no doubt that tech firms were recalibrating because artificial intelligence helps engineers to do the work of maybe two or three people.
Yeah.
That's what's happened. Over the next while, though, of course, what's going to happen is we're going to have new jobs that the artificial intelligence era will usher in. For instance, professional prompt writers. You know, when you sit in front of ChatGPT or something and you need a good prompt to get a good answer, people who will be able to do that, create references for that, even teach that, as well as LLM or machine learning engineers, tremendous opportunities in those areas. But there is no doubt, Bobby, that when you start to look at the progress that has already been made, and then when you look at the ambition of companies like Meta and Google and Anthropic, we know the world is changing. And it's a threatening place in one sense, but it's also a fascinating future ahead, perhaps.
What about the stock market? What about AI capital? All this money, you know, if we're talking about Meta and $70 billion investment, what about the funding of all this, Andy? Is that likely to change how even banks and everybody else operate? Like, there's going to be, like, if all the capital is all of a sudden directed at AI, it's probably at the expense of other things that require capital.
It's a really interesting point, and only in the last couple of weeks, there was an interesting piece on CNBC about the fact that AI is bailing out most of the US stock market. And this is sort of the idea that instead of bellwether stocks, that huge investments are being made by companies like Apple, like Meta, like Google, like Amazon. And that as a result, bellwether stocks were sort of being neglected. Artificial intelligence is hugely capital intensive, Bobby. And there are also some challenges about this, because one of the things that we have seen is the rate of improvement in AI assistance has slowed down. Part of that is down to the fact that now publishers and various app providers are limiting access to their data via paywalls or other inhibitors so that AI systems can't scrape and can't learn in the way that they once could. That puts pressure on the AI companies to find new learning opportunities and materials. This is before they start to learn themselves like humans, but we're kind of in that gray zone at the moment. There's also, it's a little bit like, I suppose, a comparison has been made to crypto in that the capital required even to build power stations or to build the infrastructure required for AI is huge. And there is a lot of talk that nuclear power will become sort of the go-to for many of these companies who need huge resources, perhaps even dedicated to them and their data centers, so that they will build power stations or help fund them with overflow power being sold onto the grids in various countries. But you are right. The capital requirement, Bobby, is huge, and other industries will probably suffer as a result of this focus.
And I see that Zuckerberg was telling people that they had to have these AI glasses, otherwise they'd be at a cognitive disadvantage. What did you make of that?
Well, it's interesting. And I mean, Meta haven't had great success with the glasses. The Ray-Ban glasses that they introduce are very cool. His point's an interesting one, because if you start to live in a world where you can be prompted by AI or by an assistant, by a tool, shouldn't we use it? But for many of us in 2025, that sort of idea may be intrusive.
Yeah.
But there are, you know, inevitably Meta will start to do things like that, because they have the Ray-Ban glasses, their investment in the company that make them, that actually build the glasses, has already happened. Meta are already, they're starting to have some successes with their AI research. They're indexing the videos, I think, from Reels on Instagram to create context to make the searching and content delivery within videos more relevant to user experience. There is a long way to go, Bobby. There's no question. What we do know right now, though, is that it requires an awful lot of money and an awful lot of skills. And the offering of huge salaries to engineers and other people to work in the industry sort of speaks to that. However, over time, there will be more skills available. But things that won't run out, I suppose, are the planet's resources, in the sense that, you know, building power stations, having enough users to buy all of these products become questions over time. But right now, the AI remains an incredibly exciting arena.
All right, Andy, we'll leave it there. Thanks for your updates. Always good to talk tech with you.
Thanks, Bobby.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.